our church family, we simply cannot express how thankful we are for your love, friendship, and prayers. Thank you to all of you who brought food and helped serve our meal before Linda's service. She would have been most proud of the love that was shown to all of us. Thank you most of all for the prayers that have been lifted up on our behalf in our time of need. We never fear. I read that before, but I didn't. And I know who wrote this. We never fear, for Jesus is always near. So thankful for friends who step in and help us set up and clean up with such a great mission spirit. We love you all, bunches and bunches. Love the Boldings. And certainly on behalf of the church, we want to express to the Boldings our sympathy and love this morning. Gwen and I want to express our gratitude, thankfulness for everything you did for us during Christmas. It's fantastic. That's one of the great things about Christmas, is one of the great things about being pastor. You get a lot of expressions of love, and that means so much to us. We really do appreciate it so much that we can't even name all of it. I especially the I wanted to make a comment about the money tree, and this, of course, Noah's first Christmas with us, and when we were presented with the money tree, we got back to the seat, and Noah said, "We are rich." And we are rich. We are very, very blessed. If you're involved in children's church, we're going to dismiss you at this time and let you take charge of your work. We will be observing the Lord's Supper in the evening service, and we urge you to come back at 6 o'clock tonight and be a part of that service with us. Most of the time, we have on a few occasions observed the Lord's Supper in the morning service, but most of the time it's in the evening service. So if you are able to do it, you will have to take advantage of this afternoon at 6 o'clock in the evening service as we come together. And with all these things that are happening, we want to especially keep these families lifted up to the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter. The book of Matthew, the 11th chapter. And if I could give this message a title, I would call it The Great Invitation. Now, I want to preface what I want to share with us today with this. God did not decide later to come up with a plan of salvation. This is the plan. God's plan of salvation has always been the same. He's not changed it. Before time began, He had a plan for you and He had a plan for me. And that plan for our life was to become, as Henry Blackaby said, the friend of God, to be saved, to come to know Him as personal Savior. Now, let me try to explain this to you the very best that I can with before we really get started today. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, that God has sent His Son to die on the cross for your sin and for my sin. And because Jesus has died on the cross, my sins are forgiven because I've been saved. In the third chapter of John, when Nicodemus talked to Jesus, Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." So there must be this time in our life that we accept Christ as our personal Savior. Now, I know that it's different for every person, perhaps. I got a phone call from a classmate that shared with me that she had been saved, and I did not know what she was talking about. To my knowledge, I had never heard that term before, and I was 16 years old. But she said, "This is real. Salvation is real. And I've asked Jesus into my heart." And she said, "Lanny, this is what you need. You need this. Come to this youth revival." Can you believe I used to be a youth? "Come to this youth revival tonight at the Methodist Church and listen to the speaker. You can be saved." I had thought up until that point that you lived your life any way you wanted to, as mean as you wanted to be, and when you got too old to do anything else, you'd have somebody to baptize you, and then you'd go to heaven. Well, of course, that's incorrect. Well, I heard the gospel the very first time that night. I did not want to go. I battled over it, but I went. And I sat down among some of my classmates. The invitation, I'll make it shorter. When the invitation was given, I went forward, got on my knees for the first time that I can ever remember. And I prayed and asked Jesus to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and be my Savior. Nobody told me what to say. No one prayed with me. That's not going to happen here. But I was saved, and my life was changed. There was a working of the Holy Spirit in my heart from the very moment that I got the news. And so this is probably what will happen in your life if you're not a Christian. You'll hear the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God will begin a work in your heart. You'll start feeling something in your heart that you want this. I want to be saved. I want to know that whenever I die that I'll go to heaven. And so if that happens today in your life, in your heart, if the Holy Spirit deals with your heart today as I preach, when I get to the end of the message, I'm going to give an invitation for you to step out from where you're at, come to where I'm at. Brother Roger's going to be up there with me, and you can come to me or you can come to Roger. For you to pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior. Does that not sound simple? That's what salvation is all about. It took the blood of Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sin. Last week I preached on the road, a great day for the race. And so I want to talk to you today about getting in the race. About how do you get in the race? Well, that's your first step. You ask Jesus to come into your heart as personal Savior. That's your first step to getting in the race. Now, if you've done that already, then your next step is to follow Him in believer's baptism. And then the following step is to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church and become a member of that church and get in the race and begin to work for the Lord to bring as many people to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus as we possibly can and take as many with us as we possibly can when Jesus returns. And so with that said, turn to Matthew 11 and look at verse 28. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. And this is Jesus speaking. If you have a red letter Bible, the book of Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. The Bible is divided into two sections. The Old Testament, which tells about the creation of the world, that God created the world, and up through the prophets and the kings and the judges, and God's work with His people before the cross. And then we come to the cross, and the New Testament tells of the life of Jesus and Him dying on the cross for our sin. And then we begin reading about the Acts of the Apostles and the letters of Paul. And then we come to the book of Revelation at the end, tells what's going to happen at the end. So verse 28 says this, and Jesus is speaking, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." You may be seated. So I want us to look at this great invitation that the Lord gives us. And He says, come to me. First of all, come to Jesus as Savior. So who may come? Look with me in the book of Revelation. That's the last book in the New Testament. And the last chapter is chapter 22. And look down at verse 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, come." Here we've got this great invitation. Now it gives those who qualify to come. And it says, "And let him that heareth say, come." So everyone that hears, everyone that hears the gospel is opened up to the invitation to make a volitional decision for themselves about what they will do with the gospel. "Let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come." Now he's talking about physical thirst here with water, but those that are looking, that their soul is thirsty, their spirit is thirsty, they're looking for something in their life. And you and I have been created with a vacancy in our life for God. There is this spot that only God can fill. Only the Holy Spirit of God can fill this vacancy in our life. And it creates within us this thirst for God. And so everyone that is thirsty is to come. And whosoever will. Aren't you glad that the Bible uses that word, whosoever? It doesn't say that you have to be of a certain class. It doesn't say that you have to be of a certain age. It doesn't say that you have to be this or be that or do this or do that, or you have to be so smart or so dumb or whatever. It is whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Everyone that hears, everyone that's thirsty, whosoever will. Look with me at the book of Romans, the 10th chapter. This is Acts, Romans. Romans 10. I love this passage. And look at verse 13. You know what I'm going to say. For whosoever, there it is again. Whoever. That ought to be understandable, right? Whoever. Are you a whosoever? I'm a whosoever. You're a whosoever. For whosoever shall, what's that next word? Call. So, we're left with a decision on our part. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that you're lost without Jesus. When I was a child, my brother and I was given the job to go get the milk cow, which we called this place on our farm that we called Across the Holler. And she'd go across the holler. She wore a bell so we could identify where she was at. And so we were hopeful that she'd be at the barn, which wasn't too far from the house. But when we got to the barn, we heard the bell across the holler. And we were little guys, so we had to take the trail and go across the holler, down by the spring and up on the hill on the other side. And there was a little field up on that hill on the other side, and the old milk cow was grazing in that field. And us young boys, my brother and I, had this splendid idea that it would take longer for us to go around the trail than it would be if we just cut straight over the hill. And so we decided that we would force the cow straight over the hill to make it quicker back to the house. But the cow did not have the same idea. And there was a big grove of shoemake in one end of that field, and as we were trying to make her go over the hill instead of around the trail, she got in those shoemake, and we got in the shoemake trying to get her out, and some way we got totally confused. And we were lost. And we had no idea which way the house was or which way home was. And we forgot all about the cow and started trying to find our way home. And we came to a fence, and my brother said, if we follow this fence, it will take us to the house. So it was rough traveling, but we decided to follow that fence. And in a little while, the cow went on home. And we were trying to follow the fence home, and we heard our dad's voice at the barn calling for us. Now, you're talking about a couple of happy lads when we heard that voice, because we were scared to death. And we began to call back, because we did not want him to stop calling, because that was giving us the direction to go. So we just began to holler with everything that we had. That's a good old hillbilly word. And he did too. And we went to the sound of his voice. This verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call. Whosoever shall call. You see, we're lost and without hope. And the Spirit of God is dealing with our heart, and we are understanding that we are lost. And then the Bible says, if we will call. If we will call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. Boy, that just, he didn't say that if you'll walk to the top of Miller Mountain. He didn't say that if you'll do this or do that. He just said, if you'll call, you'll be saved. If you'll call, you'll be saved. In John's Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, John's the last of the four Gospels. If you'll turn back to that, John, And look at chapter 6 and verse 35. And here the scripture says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." We know that in the 14th chapter of John, when Jesus was getting ready to leave the disciples, Jesus said, I'm going away. I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll return again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And one of the disciples said to Jesus, well, we don't know the way. We don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? We do not know the way. And Jesus said to the disciples, I am the way. I'm the way. Well, you know that's not changed. In 2,000 years, that's not changed. Jesus is still the way. Amen. And there is no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And that has not changed. He is still the way. I want us to look just for a second at the character of the one giving the invitation. I can't imagine what Sister Linda is experiencing now in heaven, but I believe that she's with Jesus because that's what the Bible teaches, and that she's able to see Him face to face. And she now knows Him as she is known, so she knows all there is to know about Jesus. And what a fantastic thing that must be. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, when the scripture is talking about us coming to Jesus with heavy hearts or trouble, the Lord said, cast all your care upon me. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. In Hebrews 4 and verse 15, the Bible says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Whatever we're going through, Jesus has already gone through. You'd say, oh, that can't be possible. The Bible says that He's tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. So whatever it is that you and I are going through, He knows the feeling. So when He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, He's talking about rest for our soul. He's talking about a supernatural rest. Over in Mark's Gospel, the first chapter, and verse 40, Jesus is dealing with a leper. And in verse 40, the Bible says, and there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him, and kneeling down to Him, and saying unto Him, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. Now, leprosy was the most dreaded of the diseases in Jesus' day. You were an outcast from society. Your fingers and your toes literally rot off. The stench and the appalling figure of your face, everything changed. It was a terrible existence. But I think that that's a good example of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And when we're lost, we're in the grip of sin. And so this leper has come to Jesus. And he kneeled down before Him and He said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, and look at verse 41, the Bible says, and Jesus was moved with compassion. This word compassion here, it's not sufficient. It's not sufficient. And I'm not quarreling about God's word. But when you look up the original of that, it literally means that he was moved in his innermost being. Have you been there? Have you ever been moved in your innermost being? Has your kids been sick and you prayed, God, please let me take their place? Have you seen folks that you wanted to help so bad that you were moved in the innermost part of your being that you wanted to help, that you were extending to them? Jesus was moved with compassion. And you're not supposed to touch a leper. Matter of fact, they're supposed to get certain distance from you, and they're to call out, unclean, unclean, you can't touch me, you can't get close to me. But this verse says that Jesus was moved with compassion toward the leper, and he put forth his hand, and he touched him. And he saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And this word touch really doesn't give us a significant word in the English to say what it really means. Now, when you and I think about touching someone, we reach out and touch them. This is a word used to describe the scales on a fish, how the scales on a fish touch one another, like this. In other words, I believe that Jesus embraced the leper, that it was like this. That he embraced the leper, and the leper embraced him. And he said, I will, be thou clean. Guess what? He's waiting for you and me just in that way. If you are burdened and heavy laden, and you come to Jesus with that burden and heavy laden, he takes you in just like that. He's still doing that today. All that labor and are heavy laden. The word heavy laden here in this passage that we are looking at means to load up or to overburden. And literally with ceremony. It's not like working in the field. It's not like picking up rocks or cutting sprouts. We get tired when we do that. When you sweep the floor, or vacuum the floor, you get tired when you do that. I wouldn't know, but they tell me that you do. If you cut the hay, you get tired doing that. And you put in a long day and the sun's hot, and you, at the end of the day, you're tired, you give out, and you rest good that night. It's not that kind of tired. It's a tired from ceremony. It's an anxiety, a spiritual anxiety that all of these different messages that we're getting, do this and do that. It's being weighed down with ceremony that I can't be a Christian. I can't do all that. I can't do all those things. I can't be. I can't be good enough. So I can't accept Christ because I can't be good enough to be saved. If you only knew all these things in my life, you'd say, Preacher, I cannot be good enough. I keep falling off the wagon. I have thoughts that I should not have. I have attitudes that I should not have. So I'm not good enough. I can't be saved because I'm not in that category. And Jesus said, all those that are weighed down with the anxiety of ceremony, come unto me. Hey, guess what? When the Bible says that Christ is in me, the hope of glory. He didn't say because Lanny can live a good life, there's a hope of glory. He didn't say because Lanny can do everything right that he has the hope of glory. He didn't say that Lanny has joined Osage Baptist Church and so he's got the hope of glory. No, he said because Jesus is living in him, he has the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not what you can do, dear friend, what he has already done on the cross. Your sin is paid for. All of it. All of it. All of it. Isn't that good stuff? It's good. I mean, really? This is good. Because your sin has been paid for. And my sin has been paid for. He did it for me. And then he said, just whoever will, ask. Whoever will, ask. And I'll change your life. I'll give you a new birth. I'll step in and I'll come into your heart and I'll live in your heart. In verse 29, he said, I'll give rest to your soul. When we work, we're looking forward to that time when we can rest. Here Jesus speaks of us resting while we labor. In Jeremiah 6:16, ask for the old paths. Where's the good way? And you'll have rest for your soul. See, there's Jesus' way. There's Jesus' trail. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. Learn to understand me. And he said, I'm meek and lowly. I have a gentle disposition. We use this word, meek, for a broken horse. One that's gentle. One that's easy to deal with. Brother Roger, you come up here and stand. Help me out. And Brother Mike, you come and lead us and whoever the musician is that'll play for us. Now, if God's dealing with you, don't put him off. If the Lord is dealing with you, do not put him off. We're going to stand here in a little bit. And what I'm going to ask you to do is step out from where you're at and come to where I'm at or come to Brother Roger and tell him what's on your mind. So the first thing is, do you know Christ as your Savior? And if you're here and not a Christian, would you step out from where you're at and come to where we're at? And by your coming, say, I want to accept Christ as my Savior today. I want to be saved. Then I'm going to give another invitation at the same time. If you're here and you're saved and God's dealing with your heart, you have not yet followed the Lord in baptism, or you've been baptized and you're not a member of this church, but God's dealing with your heart to become a member of this church, I want to give you that invitation today also. Then I want to give a third thing for you. And I'm not trying to name them. You know what's going on in your heart. If you need to rededicate your life to the Lord today, you won't end the race. I'm going to ask you to make that decision today. I'm going to get in a race. I want to ask you to step out from where you're at. come to where I'm at. You can talk to me, or you can come to this altar and talk to Jesus. I tell you this, but you can talk to me, but boy, talking to Jesus is the thing. Let's stand together and you come as we sing. Let's stand together.